I'm going to talk about home insect control, a non-traditional topic for master gardeners. And I call it non-traditional because as we have been, I think, generally talking about entomologists teaching master gardeners, it usually relates to insects and plants. And this is a program that is a little bit different. It teaches specifically on household insects. And I know other states do this, so it's not unique or novel in a sense of fashion, but it is something that is a little out of the ordinary, at least I think it is. So traditionally at Minnesota, household insects generally was not taught in our core course. We had a variety of other topics. And that's the way it was when I first started to teach it. Probably in the last about 5 or 6 years, I have added about a 45-minute to 60-minute segment on household insects, just enough so they can answer some of the more common, easier questions, but not enough for them to really, be too expert at this. And so it occurred to me that there would be some value to have kind of a specialized group of master gardeners who could answer these kind of questions in more detail. So I started to develop a program for this in 2002. Now at this time, we had another option for homeowners and other groups to have household insect questions answered, and that was a program called the Yard and Garden Clinic. It was on the St. Paul campus of the University of Minnesota. It was housed by entomologists, horticulturists, and plant pathologists. We did phone calls, we did samples, and so homeowners could either go to master gardeners or could go to this clinic. Well, after I taught this for about a year and a half, this clinic closed. And so to me, there was a little bit more urgency, or it became more important to teach this core group these questions, because there was no place on campus for people to direct these calls. If they called the entomology department, they would send them to the counties and ultimately to the master gardeners. So I put a program together. We did it as a series of evening classes, 3 hours. The first one I taught was four class periods, but I learned pretty quickly that was not enough time. So it's now taught as 5 3-hour evening classes. They get notes, but one of the centerpieces of what they receive is the NPCA field guide, and I do realize this has been just recently revised to the NPMA field guide, but it's something that the pest control industry uses quite a bit. It's lavishly illustrated. I think it makes a really nice reference for the master gardeners. I was not sure how many people would be interested in this because it was a somewhat non-traditional topic, but it turned out that there was kind of an overwhelming response. There were a lot of people who wanted to take this, and because my goal was not just to kind of stuff people in there, but to get people from as many different counties as possible, I actually restricted the numbers that came in from certain counties. So we ended up with 25 master gardeners from 12 different counties, which I thought was doing pretty good. So I had issued a survey, or administered a survey over the summer in preparation for this, asking a few questions. And the first question I asked was, what was your main reason for taking the home insect control class? And I kind of thought I knew the answer to this, but I thought I would ask it anyway. And of course, the first answer was to learn more about household indoor insects. And a lot of master gardeners responded in that fashion. But I was somewhat surprised by the fact that actually most really just wanted to learn more about insects. And master gardeners are just, you just can't teach them enough. They're always hungry for more information. So I thought that was pretty interesting. A couple wanted just any advanced class. And one person actually viewed this as kind of a review. You can see that these numbers don't add up exactly. There was about 10 people who answered both A and B. They were interested in indoor as well as just insects in general. So the 3-hour class, this was divided up into two parts. The first part was lecture, PowerPoint presentations. We concentrated on identification, life cycle, injury, and then pest management. But what I thought was probably particularly useful was in the lab portion of it. So if we had the first part of the lecture was ants, then we had a lab on ants, and so on. And so I would give them specimens. They would not be marked. They would go through it. They would try and figure out, you know, what it was. But then under these green pieces of paper was the answer. So they could, you know, find out pretty quickly if they had the right specimen or not, or if they needed to look at it further. So these are the topics that we covered in the time. We included all the ants pest species, which is about 10, the vespid wasps, stored product beetles and moths. We did talk about cockroaches, flies, especially the small size flies, termites, and powder post beetles with destroying insects, although that's not as big of an issue in Minnesota. We do talk about bed bugs to a fairly great extent. And we actually, like in Texas, we talk about unknown bites, including delusory parasitosis. And we get into spiders, and then our last lecture is on nuisance invaders, which is actually a pretty big section. So, and actually, this lecture-lab combination is what we do the first four evenings. And then the last evening is actually dedicated to what I call the final lab. And I prepare 20 specimens with 20 pest management questions. No answers on this one. It's open book, open notes, but they have to go through it and try and figure things out. And I give them 2.5 hours to do this. Even after 2.5 hours, they're still biting and kicking to keep working on it, but I do have to kind of end it at some point. And then we go through the answers so they can, you know, get the answers right away. And some are a little nervous to take this or a little hesitant, but I try to reinforce with them that this is a practical exercise. It's not a test. And the idea being that if they can do this here in the lab with their peers, they hopefully will be, it'll be a little easier for them to go out the next day then and answer these questions from the public. So that's how the five evening classes would go. Now, like Texas, I administered a pre-test and a post-test, not quite as sophisticated as what you guys did, but about the first thing after I said hi to them on the first day, I gave them 10 multiple choice questions, which they, again, were a little nervous about, but I told them it's just a way of measuring what they would learn. And then after the final lab, we would administer a post-test. So 93 master gardeners, we didn't get this administered the first time I taught this, but after that we did. With the exception of two that did not scored less on the post-test compared to the pre-test, and about seven or eight that scored the same, everyone scored higher. And you can see the averages here, under five on the pre-test, and then seven on the post-test. Now also consider that it was actually two different sets of questions. So same topics, same subjects, but the post-test, it was actually 10 different questions, and they still were able to score considerably higher. So I took that to mean that we were going in the right direction with these groups. To kind of follow up on that, I asked them what their comfort level was for answering indoor questions after they've taken home insect control. And most did actually answer that they were much more comfortable in answering these questions. A pretty similar number said it's still challenging, but they did feel a little bit more at ease at doing it. And some people put little footnotes that it was somewhat conditional. For example, they'd feel very comfortable doing stored product insects, but maybe ants they were still a little, you know, a little iffy on. One person said it didn't make any difference. One person actually said it's harder now. And they're Their explanation for this was before they didn't really take all that much time in identifying things, and now that they knew what was all involved, you know, an ant isn't an ant or a fly isn't a fly, they said, wow, it's harder now. But she quickly said, but that's a good thing. So I was actually interested in the comments by Mike and Carlos about where they taught that, because obviously Minnesota is not as big, but there is a travel issue. And the first several that I taught of this class were on the St. Paul campus. So you can see down there, kind of south-central Minnesota or southeast Minnesota. And that was an easy decision to make. That's where I work. Had easy access to lab facilities, dissecting microscopes. Half of the master gardeners live in that area. And, you know, so it was pretty easy to attract people to take this class. But at the same time, I did want to, you know, get out to other parts of the state and teach this. But I wasn't sure how to do that because there was a fair amount of time involved. I could not drive out to some of these places and do this as evening classes. There was the issues with the labs and dissecting microscopes. And then kind of one day in an epiphany, I suppose, I realized that Master Gardeners, when they take the initial core course, they will, although they're doing evening classes, 3 hours, they also do 6 hours weekday, 6 hours weekend. So I thought, well, if I trim these 15 hours, perhaps down to 12 hours, and if I could get counties to host this, and especially if I could get them to be responsible for lab and dissecting microscopes, that would make it easier, because I was kind of reluctant to be traveling like 10 or 12 dissecting microscopes. That didn't seem practical. And so I did that. I kind of advertised this, and if you think Master Gardeners in the metro area, where they are more accustomed to getting programs like this, they're even more starved out in greater Minnesota for these programs, and they sometimes think we are forgetting about them, because as I said, half of the population of the state is actually right there, or maybe over half. So I did this, and just I won't maybe name names here specifically, but I did in a series of programs get to Southwest Minnesota, Northern Minnesota, Eastern Minnesota, Northwest Minnesota, Central Minnesota, and then actually to kind of change things up, because some Master Gardeners would kind of grumble about being in the eastern part of the metro, then I actually taught a core course in the western part of Minneapolis-St. Paul metropolitan area. So currently we have 31 counties that are represented. Again, a goal of mine was to get these people as distributed as much as possible. That's about a third of the counties. And about 121 Master Gardeners are currently in the program. More have been taught, some have dropped out, or there have been other reasons why they're not currently in it. Now, this is kind of the initial, what I call core course for this, but this was always meant as an ongoing program. So the idea was they wouldn't take it and that was it, because anytime you get education like that, if you don't keep getting it reinforced, you're going to forget about it. So how did I go about doing this? Well, I started off with some regular email communications with them, kind of give them little updates about what to expect, for a certain period of time. But then really what was, I think, even more important was the home insect control update programs, or what we affectionately call HICCUP. And this has kind of been different, from year to year. It's never taught quite exactly the same, but generally one in the spring, one in the fall, generally on campus, although I have taught it now at the state conference, which rotates in different parts of the state. We'll talk about the website in a few more slides. And, again, this has kind of evolved as to what we do, but I try to focus on one particular insect, give them, additional information that maybe we didn't get in core course, or new information that I've maybe learned at ESA or other things. And then we'll follow that up with a series of exercises that we call pest scenarios. And these are literally things that have come to me in emails, phone calls, things that people mail to me. I give it right back to them exactly in the same form that I got. So here's the beginning of an email. Usually this is followed up with images, is actually the image that I received of the pest scenario that we just started with, or maybe I have to take the picture. I'll give this to them a few days ahead of time, because some like to study it and be kind of prepped for it. But then we'll go through it and we'll ask them four basic questions. What is it? Where did it come from? What is it doing? What kind of damage? And then what do you do about it? And these are things that, because I see it, they could see it, and it helps reinforce things that we learned. Some of it may be things we didn't talk about, so it's an opportunity to learn new topics. And then kind of what I think is the most fun is we do Insect Jeopardy. This is a template that I got at one of our extension in-service days, and it's just like the game you'd see on TV. I write up the questions and the answers, and each category, the questions are all in theory related. You can, I think, probably guess most of these. Sleep tight is bed bugs. Broadcast news is articles I've written for our newsletter, just to see if you're actually reading what I write. Oktoberfest is fall invading insects. Flyaway is flies. And then my house is a potpourri of questions, things that I actually found in my house. And it's fun. They're learning at the same time. And I think they enjoy it. And these updates are meant to be fun and enjoyable. And then, it also, eventually I developed this website, kind of a clearinghouse of information so they could go to it. It is still kind of a work in progress. It's actually, most of this is public. I'll show you a URL here in a second. And you know, you can get to most of these links, but you will see over here on the side, if I get the pointer to work, you can see that there, this section here is for master gardeners who have taken this class only. And this is a place where I can put the updates, especially like the pest scenarios and you know, the insect updates. So if you didn't take the class, or you did and you just wanted to see it again, you know, that's situated there. And then we're trying to develop some PowerPoint presentations, because some like to go out and teach. And instead of me just giving what I use, I think it's easier to kind of you know, kind of synthesize it down and give it to them. So this is the URL. And if you want to get into the area that's on the right, that's the username and the password. I'll give you a second or two to write that down. If you don't get all that, you can ask me at the break. So then, how do master gardeners use this information? And actually, in a lot of different ways. You know, I assume primarily it was from phone calls, and that is where most of the master gardeners will use this. Also, they'll be answering emails. I was a little surprised by the number that will do household insect questions at state fairs, county fairs, that not only answer questions, but actually make displays. I mean, they're very proactive, you know, really get into it. It can make some very elaborate stuff to show people. Some are motivated enough to actually teach classes, they'll write articles. In the other category, things like farmers markets, teaching other master gardeners in their counties, which is good. Friends and family, just for their own personal use. And very fortunately, nobody put that they did not use it in any way at all. I was rather glad to see that. So with that, I think I have a little time for questions.